Well, this morning we are turning back to John chapter 17, this great prayer of the Lord Jesus. And Vic is going to read for us, and then Nathan will preach.
This morning's reading is taken from John chapter 17, verses 1 to 19. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that your scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified."
Well, thank you, Vic, for reading for us. And I wonder if you could keep that passage open in front of you, John 17. And as we begin to study it, let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your kindness to us in giving us your word. And we pray very much that you would strengthen us for your service and equip us, Lord, to serve you through looking at this passage this morning. Help us by your spirit, we pray. Amen. Now, one of my favourite places to visit is the Isles of Scilly off the far southwest of England. They're 26 miles into the Atlantic Ocean and a world away from the mainland. Few cars, slow pace of life and glorious white beaches. But to get there is quite a trek. You can fly by plane or even by helicopter, but it's very expensive. A cheaper option, but longer option, is the 3-hour boat trip from Penzance. Now, it sounds idyllic, except that the seas between Penzance and the Scillies can be very rough, and the boat can rock around pretty severely, buffeted by some very big swells and large waves. Now, last time we went on the boat, it was a pretty grim experience for most of the passengers, as the hours ticked by agonisingly. And the question everyone was asking was, will we ever get to the harbour safely? Now, when it comes to thinking about the Christian faith and our own Christian lives, then I'd be very surprised if all of us at some point have not been tempted to ask, will I make it to the end? Will I fulfill the mission God has given me to do? Often the Christian life feels like a voyage at sea. It feels as if our little ship of faith is buffeted by some pretty big storms. Sometimes we feel as if huge waves of difficulty are breaking over us. Sometimes it feels as if our little boat is being swamped. So it may be great stress at home or work or college. It may be personal relationships in difficulty. It may be the daily difficulty of struggling as a faithful Christian in the position God has placed us. Frankly, for many of us, the last 3 months have been very difficult and pretty stressful. Whatever the pressures, there are times when each one of us asks, will I make it to the end? Just how can I keep going? Now that question, will I make it to the end, was probably one of the disciples of Jesus' biggest questions. In this section of John's Gospel that we're studying together this summer, Jesus has been explaining in chapters 14 to 16 how the disciples would survive life without him. He was going to give them his word and his spirit to help them in a world which was opposed to him and them. And it's at this point in the evening that Jesus prays for his disciples. It's a prayer that is recorded for us in John 17. It's a prayer that comes straight after the teaching of chapters 13 to 16. And it's a prayer of Jesus to his Father about first himself and then his disciples and then those who would follow him in the years ahead. Now, we began to look at this prayer last week, and in the first five verses, we see that Jesus prays for himself. Remember what he prays? That God would give him the glory that is rightfully his as he goes to the cross, as he rises again and then ascends to be with his Father. It was a prayer fundamentally about the cross that Jesus would endure the following day. But now in our passage for this morning, verses 6 to 19, he turns his attention to his disciples and he prays for them. And what Jesus prays for his disciples is not that they would have an easy life, but that God would keep them and help them until they fulfill their mission. In short, he is addressing those very fears and concerns that the disciples would have after Jesus has gone. The fact is, God will not leave them alone. They will be strengthened for the task that God has given them. Now, we may ask, just before we begin, why is it important that we listen in to a prayer of Jesus about his disciples? I mean, what does that mean for us? Surely we could just skip on to the next part, move on to the next bit of the prayer. Well, there are some very important reasons why we need to listen in for the next few minutes. For a start, if God doesn't help the disciples and keep them, then there is no Christian faith to speak of. Their survival, their protection is vital for us. They pass on the teaching of Jesus and write it down for us in the Bible. It is vital that they stand firm. They're the foundation of the church. But also, this little prayer of Jesus to his about his disciples does have valuable lessons for us as well. Yes, he's praying for his immediate 11 disciples, but the truths he prays are vital for us too. We're going to see three wonderful encouragements this morning and challenges as we seek to live for Jesus in a hostile world. Because for the believer, like the disciples, we are first rescued from the world, second, protected in the world, and then thirdly, sent out for the world. And what is striking, as we'll see, is that with all three of those things, our rescue, our protection, our being sent out, all three are shaped by the word of God. Through the word of God, we're saved. By the word of God, we're protected. With the word of God, we're sent out. So let's have a look first, what Jesus says to his, or prays for his disciples first. They are rescued from the world. Jesus prays to his Father and says in verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now, we need to be clear, first and foremost, what Jesus means by the world. Do you remember, we've seen this a few times in John. The world in John's gospel means not sort of planet Earth, what we can see. The world means humanity in opposition to God, human beings running their lives without reference to the God who made them. And as Jesus prays, he shows that they've been rescued from that world, from life without God, and a life heading for judgment. Now, how has that happened? Well, first of all, he says it's happened by God's initiative. Verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Or again, have a look at verse 9. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but those you have given me, for they are yours. What is remarkable is that Jesus is saying God has taken the initiative to save the disciples. This is God's will and God's decision. God has given these disciples to Jesus. Now, we might say, well, surely the disciples chose Jesus. Surely they decided to follow Jesus. But John is very clear here. No, it is God who takes the initiative. He is the main lead for salvation, for rescue, for forgiveness. And that is true not just for the disciples, but for us as well. When someone becomes a Christian, it is first and foremost because God has taken the initiative to rescue them. That's actually a truth that we see many times in John's gospel. John says in chapter 3 that we are born again by the Spirit. That is something that God does in the believer's heart. We see in chapter 9 that Jesus opens the eyes of a blind man. And again, that's true for us. Jesus has to open our eyes so we can see. We need him to rescue us. We cannot rescue ourselves. Now, that's true in general life, isn't it? I don't know if you saw the story this week of about a 10-year-old boy who rescued a woman who was in trouble off the seas of the Devon coast. This woman was kayaking along the coast when she got into trouble. A big wave hit her and she was knocked out the kayak and started drifting out to sea. So this young boy, a 10-year-old called Jay Springnell, got into his boat and went to rescue her. He saved her from certain drowning and being washed out to sea. She could never save herself. Her strength was almost spent. She needed saving. And so it is much more seriously for us. We need God's rescue, and only he can give it to us. Only he can rescue us out of the world, a world opposed to God, a heart that is opposed to God. So salvation is God's initiative. But notice also how God's rescue is through his word. He does it through the word of God. So verse 6, you gave them to me and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you and they believed that you sent me. So how are the disciples saved? How are they rescued? They believe the word about Jesus. They have obeyed God's word in verse 6. They have accepted that word in verse 7. They believe that God sent Jesus, verse 8. So the key, again and again, is to receive the word about Jesus, the word of God. That's how you move from being a member of the world to a member of Jesus's people. You trust the word of God, the message about Jesus. And that is how anyone can receive the rescue, by believing the message of Jesus. Just go back to our 10-year-old in Devon. I'm guessing he would have said to the lady in trouble, give me your hand, I'm here to save you. And all she needed to do was to reach out and take his hand. She trusted the word, so to speak, of Jay Springnell. Now, far more importantly, we need to trust the word of Jesus and be rescued from the world, from our sin and the coming judgment. And that's why our job as believers is just to share that word and pray that God would do the rest. One of the books we're plugging today is this book by Rebecca Manley Pippitt. It's called Stay Salt. And it's a book about sharing your faith. When I opened it, I thought to myself, well, it's going to be another one of those books which has 300 things that I have to do, techniques to do in order to save people, that sort of thing. Actually, there is none of that, almost no technique in this book. It is all about the gospel, and it's a really, really good book. Actually, it's a refreshing book on evangelism, because most of the book is about the evangel, the gospel, the message. And her point is, once you're gripped by the message of Jesus, then you will naturally want to share your faith. I commend it to you. It is well worth getting, and you can get it on the 10 of those websites with that link. So if you're a believer, praise God for his rescue of you. You've been saved from the world by the word of Jesus. And if you've not done that, you must consider the message of Jesus and trust him and believe his word. So that's the first thing Jesus reminds his disciples of or prays for in this section of the prayer. We're rescued from the world by God's loving initiative through the word of God about Jesus. But there's a second thing here as well, and that is that we would be protected in the world, verses 11 to 16. So verse 15, follow along, Jesus says this, as he prays to his heavenly Father, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Now, first of all, notice that Jesus says he does not take his disciples out of the world. Or verse 11, though Jesus is going to be with his Father, yet his disciples are still in the world. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, says Jesus. So his disciples have a job to do in the world to speak about Jesus, as we'll see. It's a reminder that God does not want us to be separate from the world, but to be a witness in the world. We've been saved from the world, but we still live in the world. So Christians aren't instantly zapped to heaven when they become Christians. No, they remain in the world with a job to do. Now, it's with that in mind that Jesus prays for his disciples to be protected in the world. So, first question, why do they need protecting? Well, quite simply, because we will face hostility from the world and the devil. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So Jesus says his disciples have two big enemies. First, there's the world around them. Verse 14, the world has hated them, says Jesus. The Christian message and the Christian who carries it is hated, says Jesus. It's what happened to Jesus. And Jesus makes it clear it's what happens to his disciples. The rest of the New Testament makes it clear it's what happens to all Christians who stand faithfully to Jesus. Do you remember we saw this back in chapter 15? The world hates Christians who stand for biblical truth. If you stand for Christ in your family or your workplace or in society as a whole, you will not be popular. That's a fact. And Jesus knew it. So the disciples need protecting from the world. And it's not just the world they need protecting from, it's also the devil, verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. You see, behind the world's antagonism and hatred is Satan himself. He's deeply opposed to God's purposes and God's people. So yes, he's defeated through the cross, but in his death throes, he can be very dangerous. He's like a prowling lion, according to the Apostle Peter, from whom we need protection. Jesus is under no illusion that his disciples do need protection as they serve him in the world. And it's a reminder of the spiritual battle that believers are engaged in. So how are we protected then? Second question. Well, verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. So Jesus prays that his disciples would be protected by the power of God's name, the name God gave to Jesus. Now, what does Jesus mean? Well, in the Bible, people's names reveal people's characters. So Jacob meant deceiver, which is exactly what he was. Abraham means the father of many nations, which is exactly what he was. Of course, it's not really the same for us. Nathan means gift. Now, I would agree with that, but you may not. When missionaries first came to Papua New Guinea, the tribes people there named their children after words the missionaries used. So there were little boys and girls running around the village with bizarre names like tinned fish and second gear. But when it comes to God's name reveals his character. When God revealed his name to Moses, he said his name was I am who I am. It shows that he's the eternal one. He's the unchanging one. So when Jesus says that God will protect his disciples by the power of his name, he means not some sort of mystical aura that will surround them, but the power associated with his character, the very character that's been fully revealed in Jesus, as he says in verse 6, I have revealed you, literally, your name. So Jesus has revealed the very character of God, and how will they be protected? By the revelation of the truth of God in Jesus. In other words, we're back to the word of God, aren't we? It's as we submit to the word of God that the disciples will be kept, his character revealed in the gospel, as they believe in that character and the power of God. Now we may ask, why does Jesus think it's necessary to pray specifically for his disciples to be protected? Well, the reason is, as we said right at the start, is that these disciples are going to be the first messengers of the good news of Jesus. They are the foundation of the church. If they are destroyed by Satan, if they fail to pass on the message, well, then no one will ever hear about the message of Jesus. We wouldn't be here today were it not for God's protection on those original disciples. It is vital that this prayer of the Lord Jesus is answered, ultimately, for our sake. But actually, the same is true for us today. We don't have the same role as the disciples in being the first carriers of the message about Jesus. Now, the message of the disciples is found in God's word, the Bible, in the New Testament. But we do need God's protection and strength to stand firm, not to be overwhelmed by the world and the devil. And wonderfully, as we've seen in chapters 14 to 16, we have the Spirit to help us stand firm in a hostile world. Now, what I'm about to say could be misinterpreted, so please listen very carefully. I sometimes wonder whether we are worried or scared enough about the world we live in. You see, I find it very instructive that Jesus prays for his disciples' protection here. Now, why is that? Well, because there was a very serious and real possibility of them being swept away, of them falling from their faith. Just consider this scenario. Imagine if we interviewed Peter 30 years after Jesus died. So the date is around about 63 AD. Peter's in his probably mid-60s. And he says to us on camera, yep, in my mid-20s, I followed this visionary prophet around Galilee for a few years. But he died and I lost my faith in him. I went back to fishing with my mates, gambled my earnings away, and now I'm a security enforcer for the Romans. Now, that could easily have happened, but it didn't, because Jesus prayed for God's protection on his disciples. They were kept by the word of Jesus. And I just wonder whether we feel the spiritual battle keenly or not. We should be unsettled by this passage. We should feel that life is not easy for the believer, and were it not for his protection of us, we too would stumble and fail and give up. And actually, having a realistic assessment of how hard it is will, I think, force us back on Jesus himself and cast ourselves on his mercy and grace for each day. That's why I say I don't think we're worried enough by the world that we live in. People might say it's not all that bad, but we have real enemies against us, not least Satan himself, who is intent on ruining our spiritual lives, pushing us off course and destroying our church. But praise God, we're protected in Jesus and his word. Just listen to these words from chapter 10, which remind us of Jesus' promise and protection. Verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. That's the protection that Jesus promises. But remember, the whole point is he's prayed for that and therefore we need it. This is really serious and we shouldn't be complacent. And we need to pray that the Lord would continue to protect us by that same word, by God's character and power. that he would protect us and our church from disaster. Not that life would go easily, but rather we'd be kept going, trusting in Jesus. So says Jesus, I pray for my disciples that they might be protected in the world. But then one last thing, finally and briefly, Jesus's third request is that the disciples are sent out for the world. So see what he says in verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Now that word sanctify means to declare holy or to set something apart. When I was a child, we would have a whole set of crockery and cutlery and glasses and tablecloths, which my mother would use for very, very special guests. Such guests were very rare because the crockery was very expensive. So only the queen and guests from overseas would be treated to such finery. The queen never turned up. One or two other international guests sometimes did. But we could have said that the crockery and all the rest was sanctified for that purpose. It was set aside for a particular purpose. And Jesus is saying that he has set apart his disciples for a purpose. He prays to God to sanctify them by the truth. That is, again, by the word of God. They are declared holy and washed clean through the word of God, through the truth of the gospel. And again, it's by the word that they are saved. But holiness here is not just about moral purity, it is about purpose. They have been entrusted with a task to do as God's holy people. They're set apart for a purpose. And what is that purpose? Verse 18, to be sent into the world. As you, Father, sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So God has rescued the disciples from the world to send them back into the world with the word of God, the truth about Jesus. That's the very reason Jesus came. He set himself apart. He sanctified himself so that he could sanctify us, so that he could send us out into the world. See, Jesus is saying that his disciples are not meant to be little ships which stay in the harbour. See, being in the harbour is a very safe place to be, but it's not what ships were made for. Ships are made to sail and serve on the high seas. And if you are a Christian trusting in the death of Christ, you've been set apart for a purpose. You've been sanctified by the truth for a purpose, to proclaim God's word to the world. And the question is, are you up for the challenge? See, this is not an option just for special Christians. It is what you were sanctified for, and it's what Jesus is praying for his disciples. And if you delight to be rescued from the world, and if you delight to know that you're protected in the world, then you should also be delighting in the fact that you're sent out for the world with the word of God. That's what Jesus is praying for his disciples. Now, I have no doubt that sometimes every believer listening to this morning feels like a ship in stormy seas and heavy storms. They're rather like the Isles of Scilly Salonian going from Penzance to St. Mary's on a very choppy day. But Jesus knew exactly what he was sending his disciples into. He knew what to pray for. So will you hear Jesus's words again this morning and take up these encouragements and challenges? We are protected in the world by the word of God. We're rescued from the world through the word of God. We're sent out for the world with the word of God. Well, may God give us the strength to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we do thank you so much for your amazing word in this prayer, which has been preserved for us. And thank you, Lord, that you rescue us by the word, you protect us by that same word, and you send us out into the world with that word as well. And as we recognize these things were first said to the disciples, help us to take the principles ourselves and stand firm for you in your strength, we pray. Help us to keep sailing on and to trust that we will make it safely to the end, having fulfilled what you've given us to do. And we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.